Why are you here? Was it just a good idea? Let's open a new shop in town. No! It's because something happened all these centuries back, and it continues to happen. There's this big story that is sweeping through.
Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Roger just asked me to say a few words about our family so that you know a little bit about us. We have three adult children. Our eldest daughter is a week off having her third baby. So that's like a nice surprise Christmas present. Surprise to everyone. So that's really nice. She has two other little kids that we adore. Then we have a son, so her name's Ruth. We have a son called Joshua. He lives in Sweden right now. He's married to a Swedish girl called Nina, as probably some of you know. So Ben and Jen are close friends with Josh and Nina, and Ben and Jen have been, I just want to commend the way that Ben and Jen have kept in touch with Josh and Nina and sent them presents for little Freddie and stuff like that. It means a lot when you're in a foreign nation. So not that it's a foreign nation to them now, it's their nation, but still foreign to us. And then we have a younger daughter and another daughter who's our youngest called Chloe. She is getting married next year to somebody some of you might know, a guy called Alid, who used to be at Lancaster Church. They now live in Sweden, so they're part of the church plant over there. So two of our kids live abroad in Sweden, and then one lives almost on our doorstep in Cockermouth. So we have three grandkids and one on the way. What else is there to say? We've been married for years and years and years, amazingly. And Roger's put up with me and my obsession with IKEA for very many years and has not yet left me. He has been close to it on occasions as I've wended my way through IKEA, as I'm sure some guys here might feel exactly the same. So we met at Brighton, down on the very south coast of England, and we got married, lived in Kent for many, many years. So this is a Kentish / Essex. I am actually truly an Essex girl. And then we moved up to Cumbria 11 years ago. So Roger has helped serve the New Frontiers churches in Cumbria for probably, I don't know, maybe 25 years or something, 20, 25 years. And then finally we decided, it's such a long way to keep driving up from Kent to Cumbria, and we'd often just come up for a weekend. It's just like a super long drive. And I was teaching at the time, so it was always hard work. And we just love Cumbria. So we're living in Cockermouth, which has been flooded several times, as you probably know, just like pretty much everywhere in Cumbria. So we still run a flood cafe, our church does. So we're part of King's Cockermouth, and yeah, we love it. We love our family of churches here in Lancashire and Cumbria. So it's great being with you. It's our first time. Hopefully it'll be the first of many. So Rog, no pressure.
I thought it was interesting when Cheryl talked about things that bring you pleasure and then talked about visiting IKEA. You know, I kind of was like, really? But anyway. Okay, we're gonna look at Romans chapter 15. Thanks, love. Romans chapter 15. So if you've got your Bibles, it'd be good to turn to that. And I'd love us to pray. I just feel there's just been such a sense of the Spirit of God with us this morning. God's speaking so clearly, and he's been speaking so clearly about Jesus, really, about Jesus being our foundation, about him being our rock, about him being our protection, about him being our first delight, our pleasure. He delights in us, we delight in him, and it's been great. I've just been, you know, it's just great to come here for the first time and just sense, obviously, a church that is just passionate about meeting with Jesus. And I'd love to just pray into that now, that God continues to speak into that. I believe that there's more that he just wants to say. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we just want to thank you for your incredible gift of the Lord Jesus to every one of us. Lord, whatever our age, whatever our background, whether we're new Christians, old Christians, yet to be saved, Lord, I want to thank you for the same gift for all. And Lord, we just want to thank you for this rock that's been laid as our foundation, that you are our protector. Lord, you're the one who delights in us. Lord Jesus, thank you for these magnificent songs we've been singing that so declare who you are and everything you've done. And Lord, we ask you now, come, meet with us. Come, fill us with your spirit. Come, help us to learn of you. Help us to meet with you more and more, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to just start reading in verse 13 and read through to 24-ish. Okay, I'll stop when I stop. Okay. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet, I've written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. That's why I've often been hindered from coming to you. But now, there's no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia Care, I will please to make a contribution to the poor, for the poor amongst the Lord's people in Jerusalem. Okay, so Romans takes us on quite an amazing journey, and I do encourage you at some point in your Christian life to read all the way through Romans, to read slowly, read it carefully, to digest it, because actually it gets the foundation of the gospel into our lives. And it tells us this remarkable story that really what we were and what we now are. And what we were slaves to sin. We were under God's anger, his wrath. We deserved punishment. We'd fallen short in every way. And yet what we are now is that we're now sons of God. We now belong to him. We're now justified. We're now made righteous. We now have an inheritance. And we're part of this new creation. And it just tells this remarkable story of what we were and what we are. But even more importantly than that, it's not just about us. Because if you start at Romans 1, you read this phrase, that actually it's the gospel of God regarding his son Jesus. So that in fact, this story is not a me-centered story, but it's a Jesus-centered story. That the Father sent his son who lived and died and rose again for us and is now seated on the throne. and is now King of all, Lord of all. And it's about his big story. It begins with him. And in fact, if you read literally the last verse of Romans, it talks about let all glory be for him. So he starts the story. It's all about him and it's for his glory. So the big story is all about Jesus. You know, and that's why Rome is so important. And there are verses that speak to us. Think, oh, nothing's going to separate me from the love of Christ. And wonderful. It does us good, okay? It gets the right foundations into our lives. But also it lifts our heads to there's a massive story out there that we're part of. And it's all about his story, okay? It's his story and it's for his glory. And actually, if you were to hear nothing else, okay, that could be a good thing to just take away from this morning. It's his story, it's about Jesus, and it's all for his glory. Okay, so that's the book of Romans. But then we get to this kind of very personal bit where Paul's signing off, really. And we could almost dismiss it a bit. Well, Paul's been quite personal. He speaks about himself there. And in fact, if you to read on in Romans 16, he addresses a whole lot of people by name. He goes one after another, saying greetings, greetings, greetings. And sort of think, oh, well, Paul's just coming kind of just to the end. He's being a bit personal. And we could skip that easily. I suggest, actually, it's crucial and critical that we get hold of these end bit of Romans. Because it's where the gospel lands in our lives and it's what it's to look like through our lives. And one of the prophetic words, one of the encouragements this morning was about knowing what God has done in us because what God wants to do something through us. And these last chapters of Romans speak about the through us, about what God wants to do touching other people's lives through us. And we get a massive encouragement. We get a powerful example, okay? And then we're kind of given an invitation to engage with this big story, okay? And that's what I'm going to try and help us with this morning. So let's start with encouragement. I'm going to take my jumper off. I'm warming up. That's the thing about when you're preaching. Okay, does anyone, if anyone's cold, there's a spare jumper going. Okay, I'll put it there and, you know, whatever. But anyway, I'm warming up. Okay, so, huge encouragement. I myself am convinced, brothers and sisters, okay, that you yourselves are full of goodness. Press pause. Okay, we've got the remote control here, okay? Don't know who owns the remote control in your house, okay? But whoever does, let's press pause, let's press rewind, okay? And let's go back to the beginning of the story again. We've all fallen short of God's standard, of his glory. We've all sinned, okay? That's if you press rewind, but we got here. Now, we're full of his goodness, okay? And it's worth, you know, sometimes on some programs, you rewind and you, or perhaps you don't, perhaps it's a strange thing, only I do. But, okay, sometimes you can rewind and rewind, fast forward, rewind, fast forward, compare, contrast, hold on. We were fallen short of God's glory. Now, filled with the goodness of God. Now, it's a powerful statement. Paul is basically encouraging them with everything God has done in their lives, with the work of the gospel in their lives, that work that Jesus has done. It's what it does. You're now filled with goodness. That's the product of the gospel. Incredible. It's what King Jesus does. Because that's, again, the story of Romans. It tells us about Jesus. It tells us about King Jesus. And he changes lives. You're now filled with the goodness of God. God is good. So in other words, another way of reading that is this, that we are now remade into the image of God. We're made like him. We totally messed up. We worship the creature rather than the creator. We exchange truth for a lie, but now we've been made like him. We reflect his very character. God is good, and now we are characterized by his goodness. Does that sound good news? The gospel really is as good as that. This is not Paul sort of saying, let's aspire to something here. Let's try and be good. You know, that's what the world thinks of, you know, that Christianity is all about. Let's try and be good. No, the gospel makes us good. It makes us good. You're full of it. And even that word, full of it, is filled with goodness. It speaks of the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I just read that earlier bit where it talks about the God of hope filling with all joy and peace as you trust in him so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The work, I think it's fantastic how Matt just ended that worship time after hearing all those things about what God was saying to us. He said, okay, what do we do now? We pray to be filled with the Spirit. It's always the application thing. Because everything God has for us in Christ, he wants to make real in our experience through the filling of the Spirit. So how do we get filled with joy? How do we get filled with peace? How do we get filled with the goodness of God? By the power of the Spirit. You're filled with goodness. This is church. This is who we are. It is now what Christ has made us. We're filled with the goodness of God. And then it goes on to say, and filled with knowledge. And it's those two things. There's that sense of being filled with the very character, the very nature of who God is, being filled with the Spirit. Oh, and we know something. Our lives have been changed by a knowledge. And it's the knowing of God through Jesus, as revealed through his word. You're filled with knowledge. And that's what Paul's been doing. He's been adding more truth and helping them even be more secure in the knowledge that they know. He says, look, I'm boldly reminding you of these things so you'll be even more established in this truth. These two things to characterize us. It's fascinating. One actually speaks to the activity of the Spirit, and the other one speaks about the Word of God. Because that's how we get to know God, is as we open our Bibles and God speaks to us and we get to grips with the Jesus revealed to us in Scripture. It's Word and Spirit together. And though for you here as a church in Blackpool, as with us in Cockermouth, that's what you're passionate about, is both and. It's Word and Spirit together. And it's vital to see that, because we can all have our preference. You know, there are some folks who say, oh, we need more of the Spirit, more of the Spirit, more of the Spirit. And yeah, we know this. Yeah, okay, we know that stuff in there, but let's have more of the Spirit. Okay, and go there. And there's other people sort of saying, well, let's not get carried away with stuff of the Spirit. Let's just open our Bibles. We need both. It's a wrong separation to separate them out. The Bible leads us to more of the Spirit. It the very author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit, you know. But actually, the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and reveals to them that we need both. It's not kind of balancing them out. We need fully both, fully joined together, fully united. And I think Paul is seeing that in these people in Rome as he's writing to them. Look, he said, I know this. You're full of goodness. That's a work of the Spirit. That's a work of the gospel. And you're filled with knowledge. He's encouraging them. Listen, brothers, sisters, this is who you are. Hear the weight of this encouragement. This is who you are. So often we sell ourselves short, or we disqualify ourselves, or we're aware of the battles going on in our own lives, and we miss actually what Scripture says about us. And Paul is bringing this strong, strong encouragement to us. It's word and spirit. But also, then, just another point to make on that, he says this, and you are competent to instruct one another. I think that's a fascinating phrase there, because that talks about, okay, there is to be a flow of truth between one another. And we're not always good at that. Or we read this the wrong way. You see, I think that churches on the whole in the past have had a reputation of more judging one another. Okay? Or more gossiping of one another. Or more attacking one another. But here Paul is saying, no, you're competent to instruct one another. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that I go to Jordan and say, well, so what were you doing last night? And you watched that film, and well, I'm not so sure about that. And am I telling Jordan off? Am I accusing him? No, it's his instructing. And what that means, I think, is exactly what Paul is doing. It's instructing one another in the ways of Christ. Of actually reminding, because this is what Paul is doing. He's boldly reminding them of everything God has done for them in Christ. And so actually, my way of instructing Jordan is this, to remind him that he has been chosen, that he has been called, that he now belongs, that the seal of the Holy Spirit is on him, and that the very gifts of God's working. That actually, Jordan, you are full of the goodness of God. You may not feel it at times. You may feel the very opposite at times. But actually, God's put his goodness within you. Imagine growing church like that, where actually we communicate grace and truth to one another, where we really encourage one another. This is apostolic encouragement. This is where Paul lands it. Phil Moore, in his kind of commentary on Romans, he actually writes about this section, and he says this, it's as though Paul fires up his starting pistol, and in this section, rather than tailing off, is actually kind of, is firing the starting pistol, okay? He's basically saying, get ready. This is what it looks like. Boom. Go. Second thing, just to note, is this, that Paul gives a remarkable example, okay? He talks about himself. He says, God's called me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He has given me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in my service to God. Okay? Got quite a little kind of chunk there. And you think, okay, well, that's Paul. Okay? That's the big apostle Paul. He's speaking about himself. It's autobiographical. Well, that's interesting. That's how Paul worked. Well, yeah, there was something unique about Paul, clearly. But I believe in this, there are some principles we can just take out that actually can be applied to every single one of us. Now, Paul uses some phrase in this. He talks about his priestly duty. He speaks about his service. And he speaks about him preaching the gospel to the Gentiles is actually so that they will become a sacrifice to God. And all those three phrases, priestly duty, service, and sacrifice, they all is temple speak. Okay, they all belong to temple duties. Now, we now know that the temple as was in the Old Testament, that day has now passed. There is now a new temple. And that's the church, the dwelling place of God by his Spirit. And we're all, and there is now, we're all part of his priesthood. That no longer is it just a selective tribe, but we're all priests to the king. And so we all have priestly duty. And that's where we get what Paul is saying, and we can draw some strands from it and think, actually, this does apply to us. Because we all have our own priestly duty. We all have our place of bringing the presence of God to other people. We all have that place of actually representing Jesus, of actually serving him, as it were, on temple duty. And guess what? That's not about just Sunday morning meetings. It's about life. Paul's speaking about his life. He's on temple duty 24/7. And for him, it looked a certain way. But all of us are called to this temple duty. It's an example of actually us bringing the presence of God to wherever God's called us to be, wherever we live, whatever family or non-family setting we're in, whatever work setting we're in. It's a fascinating thing to think, okay, in this work setting, whether you're in a school or whether you're in a factory or in industry, whatever role you work in or don't work, maybe retired, wherever you're in, I'm on temple duty. Here I am, Monday morning, I'm on temple duty. I can remember when Cheryl and I moved into our house where we now live near Cockermouth, 11 years ago now. We've got a courtyard around the back. Okay, we've got neighbours that live there, permanent neighbours that live there, and then we've got three holiday cottages as well, which means we've got this throughput of people coming and going, coming and going. Now, I can remember one morning, literally standing out, looking at the courtyard, and I thought, Lord, I want us to be a blessing to this courtyard, to whatever happens in this courtyard. I want to bring your blessing. That's priestly duty. Okay, there was a priestly blessing to be a blessing. And we have genuinely had conversations in those courtyards, we had conversations with our neighbours. She's done Alpha. I don't think she's saved, but she's done Alpha. We've had, certainly, they've kind of opened up their home, opened up their hearts to us. And we've had many people that have come through that, holidaymakers, have come through those cultures and saying, God, let's be a priestly duty. Let's be a blessing wherever God has you. You're serving him. And this is where his great big truths of Romans land and sort of say, okay, this is what it looks like. It's living Christ-centered. It's, you know, Paul, those verses, that number of times just refers to, you know, serving Christ, dependent on Christ. He's passionate for Jesus to be glorified. I glory in Jesus. Again, that worship this morning was all about glorying in Jesus. And that fuels something in us. Oh, that's good. And what do we do with that? Is it just, oh, it's been a good worship. It's been a good worship. We've had a good morning. No, it fuels us for our priestly duty. And then lastly, is just this aspect of Paul engages them in a mission. And he says this, that Basically, he tells a story. He says that this gospel, it started in Jerusalem, and it could have spread throughout the Mediterranean, all the way to Illyricum, which is like Croatia and Serbia, all the way there. And obviously, Paul, and it's, we know it's in Rome, he wants to visit them in Rome, but actually he wants to visit them in Rome to encourage them there, but also to connect them to going to Spain. Okay? So that's the story that Paul is telling. Okay, there's this sweep. He says, Spain. I want to encourage you. I want to be encouraged by you. But hey, Spain. Oh, and also, but I need to go back to Jerusalem because actually there's an offering for the poor in Jerusalem. Do you know, those are the three elements, actually, of being part of an apostolic family of churches. One is breaking through to new ground. The other is encouraging local churches where they are. And the third is actually impacting the poor. And you just see it there. So now Paul tells this story. Now we know the story didn't stop there. Paul didn't get to Spain, but we know the gospel got to Spain. And believe it or not, it went beyond Spain. It even hit the barbaric shores of Great Britain with the savages, the hordes of savages. We're here because this gospel spread westward. It kept going. It kept going. It kept going. And then this church plant here in Blackpool is direct product of this story still being told. Why are you here? Was it just a good idea? Let's open a new shop in town. No. It's because something happened all these centuries back and it continues to happen. There's this big story that is sweeping through. And on the way, there's encouragement of local churches, but there's new ground to gain, but there's also impacting the poor. That's New Testament apostolic Christianity. This is the bang of the starting pistol. Ready, steady, boom! That's why you're here. It's so important we kind of anchor what God's doing here amongst you right into this. It's a big gospel story. It's about King Jesus. It is about what God's doing in your lives personally, but it's bigger than that. It's about King Jesus building his kingdom. And he does it through the local church. And he does it with people like you and I who are filled with his goodness. That's an amazing description. I've lived with this for a while now. Go away and think about it, okay? It's so simple. So many of us get caught up with what's our calling, what's our gifting, and what. You're filled with goodness. Go and bless people with the goodness of God. Go and do it. That's what Blackpool needs, that's what Cockermouth needs, that's what our nation needs. It needs people who know, I've got the goodness of God in me. And even when you feel weak in it, you feel you're failing in it, you feel you haven't got anything to give, just give it. You've got it. You've got it. Give it. And be a blessing. Just, you know, I almost dare you to have that, to pray in the morning, get up Monday morning, wherever your Mondays take you, when your alarm clock goes and you eventually open those eyes, okay, and you prize them open, think, well, Lord, it's Monday. And here I am on priestly duty. Now, don't get weird with it, but just think about that. I'm on priestly duty. So the people I work next to, they may not realize it, but they're working next to a priest. Now, I'm not going to wear the T-shirt. I'm not going to wear the badge and say, do you know who you sit next to? I'm priest of the Most High. No, just settle it in your heart. I'm here. The presence of God is with me. This office can be different because I'm here. this schoolroom can be different because I'm here. This neighbourhood, this little courtyard out the back can be different because we live there. Been blessing. And let's see this huge story. God's catching us up with Blackpool. Yeah, Christchurch, Blackpool, you're part of that same apostolic sweep. You know, Paul, you know, Paul, the other apostles, all that early church began. It outlived them. It will outlive us. But right now, we're part of this story. And it's a story that is to be characterized by the gospel, because that's what Paul did. I fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. It's what you've been doing. It's what it is, the foundation that you're built on. But also by the power of signs and wonders. And that's a challenge to us. It is both, again, spirit and word. Spirit and word. Spirit and word together. But let's press through together. Because God wants to use us. Meet with us. So that others are impacted by the good news of Jesus. There's a new king in town. That's what Romans, that's the real big headline to Romans, in fact. There's a new king in town. Because in Rome, it was Caesar. But Romans is written to say, no, there's a new king in town.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.